Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Love it to see when God's people receive the word and the light bulb comes on. Do you realize that light bulb moment is really revelation of when God, not only you begin to read the word or speak the word, but it's when the word begins to speak to you. And when the word speaks to you, that's when it's God bringing revelation to his word. Amen. Aren't you glad? Say this with me. I've seen different ministers over the years do this, and I just was watching some teaching just this past week, and they said Smith Wigglesworth did this years ago. If you don't know anything about Smith Wigglesworth, look him up. He was a tremendous man of God, used mightily by God, powerful man of God. But they said that he would always put his Bible on his head and make these declarations. And I thought, wow, I didn't realize that Smith Wigglesworth was the one that either started that or that he did that. So do this with me. If you have your physical Bible, grab it. If all you have is your cell phone that you use as a Bible, then you just grab your cell phone. But do this with me. Put your Bible on your head. Say, this is my Bible. I can be what God says I can be. I can do what God says I can do. I can have what God says I can have. Because my Bible is God speaking to me. Amen. Woo, come on. This word, this Bible is God's promises to you and me. Aren't you glad that his promises never end? That God cannot lie, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, hey, listen. We have been in the middle of a series throughout the summer. We've been kind of coming in and out of it just depending on specific things that we might have rabbit trailed and ministered on. But we've been in this series called The 101 at the 911. What's 101 mean? It simply means the basics, like English 101. It's the basics. It's the foundation. So it's the basics at the 911, or what 911 means emergency, correct? I mean, when things are in trouble or when things are in need of desperate attention, you'll dial 911. And so we live in a time, in a crucial time, where the basics are needed once again. Because we have got a culture that has really walked away from the things of God and really does not know even what the local church or what it means to be a Christian in this hour, in this time. And so again, we're just revisiting some things concerning the basics and bringing them to light so that we can begin to walk in them. Now, let me just say this in regards to you and I as a church. We know that God is doing more and God is pouring out his Spirit. And God is wanting us to become more hungry and desiring of him in this time and in this hour. And God is just, well, in fact, let me say it this way. How many of you have ever went to Sam's Wholesale? And you go back there in the freezer section, and there's that little lady that's got the cart, right? And then she's got the display and the little cooker going on over here, the little microwave or the oven or the skillet. And then she's got all these little samples, right? Of all these little things. And you go walking by and she said, would you like a sample? And what do? You grab one of those samples. You're like, Well, why do they give you a sample? So that you can taste and see that it's good. And upon tasting and seeing, you're like, I want some more of that. Right? And they got it on display. Hey, listen, we're running a special right now. 2 for 1. Here, have another one. What's God doing in this time? He's helping us taste and see that he is good and that the Lord's mercy endures forever. So listen, every Sunday that we come together, there's something new, something more that God is wanting us to press in and experience in him. Amen. Now, we are a church that's excited to reach the lost, to minister to those that are seeking for Jesus. But listen, here's one of the things that I'm just convinced in. That if I can just jump ahead in some things and go where others have been, I don't have to go through all the pitfalls myself. Amen? So that means that they can come right along with us. And God's going to take them right along and help them along. And man, it's going to be a glorious time. Amen? Amen. So praise the Lord. We're talking about the basics. Praise God. The simplicity of the Word of God. And so today, the specific thing that I want to talk to you about is the importance or the significance of words. There is a elementary truth, if you will, that there is an importance of words or the words in which you speak. The only way that you received Jesus was through words that you spoke. The Bible says that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? So therefore, we must confess Jesus as Lord. It's called the Great Confession upon receiving salvation in Jesus. And so our words are significant and important, and they carry weight in the life of a believer. Now, in regards to God himself, let's just back up and begin to examine the magnitude of words. Now, we all know that the Bible tells us that when God created the heavens and the earth, it says that God said, and then there was, correct? But here's the real, the details of the matter. The fact of the matter is that God created with the substance of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says this: faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word hope is confidently expected. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So obviously, when God said, nothing was seen until he said, correct? But what did he create everything with? He created it with the substance, the materiality of faith, and he used words to use to put that substance to work to do the creating of his words. Are you tracking with what I'm saying? And then not only that, God said this. He said, I've created you to be in my image and in my likeness. He says, in fact, you go act and do like me. And so did you know that in regards to all of creation, concerning you and I, everything in creation revolves around you and me. And the significance about you and me is that God made you a speaking individual. There is nothing else in all of creation that has a voice that can speak words. Now you might say, well, there's other things that communicate. Oh, communication is one thing. I said that we are the only creation, the only thing that God created in his image and likeness to be able to speak, communicate, and declare words. Why? Because words carry weight. Words have creative substance about them. Words were something that God did, and God says, you be and do and act like me. Our words that we speak, every single person in this room, are 100% in control of what you say. Now, I know it'd be real easy for us to blame it on somebody. Well, you just made me so mad. And therefore, I just couldn't control myself. Oh, no, listen. We can control the words that come out of our mouth. I mean, if you have to, put your hands over your mouth. If you have to, bite your tongue. If you have to, put tape over your lips. We have 100% control of the words in which we speak, right? Now, in the way that we speak or the way that we have the ability to control our words, that means you're also in control of what you say. You're in control of how you say, and you're in control of when you say. And let me say that again. You are in control of the what, the how, and the when. Now, husbands, I know we've got just a stellar group of guys around here, so don't leave me hanging, okay? I'm just being real honest. There are times that I said something, and it might have been the right fact of something. But when I said it, the when of expressing the facts and the manner in which I delivered the facts didn't fare well for me, because it created an environment that became hostile in my home. Do you know what I'm talking about, right? My words have the ability to create. And once again, I have 100% control of the words in which I speak. Why? Because words are significant. Amen. Words have the ability to bless. They have the ability to curse. They have the ability to build up, to tear down. They have the ability to create. And words are the compass to my life. The words in which we speak give direction to our lives. So in other words, where you are today in life is based upon words that you spoke yesterday. And you might say, well, that's so simple, and that I just don't agree with that. That, you know, decisions are all about that. But listen, your decisions are also based upon the words, and the words gave directions to your decisions. Let me give you scriptural evidence of that. Over in James chapter 3, James chapter 3, starting in verse 2, it says, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. So did you see that your tongue controls everything else? It's a byproduct. Verse 3, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever. Now listen to these words. The rudder turns a huge ship wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Verse 9, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And those blessings, and so blessings and cursing come pouring out of that same mouth. Surely, my brethren and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? So did you notice what the scripture said? I know I read a lengthy portion of scripture, but did you see that the scripture said that your tongue, your mouth, your words set the direction and the course of your life? And did you also notice that it says that you cannot tame the tongue? What does that mean? Does that mean you'll never be able to talk right or speak correctly? No, it's saying that you'll always have opportunity to make a choice to say the right thing. Amen. Every day you will have a choice to say the right thing or the wrong thing. It's entirely your choice. But your words begin to set the course and the direction of our lives. So as I said already, the life that we live today is a result of words that we have spoken yesterday. If you don't like the life that you're living, check up on what you've been saying. If you don't like the way that your marriage looks, check up on the conversations and the talk in your home. If you don't like the behavior of your children, check up on the words in which you've been speaking. If you don't like where you're at in life, change the words that you speak and you'll change the direction of your life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You may not like what we're saying, but it's true anyways. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, sometimes, you know, you just got to keep on preaching regardless of how people respond. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to tell them what you want me to tell them. Listen, this is good stuff. Why? Because our words have creative power. And I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to experience the blessings of the Lord. Why? Because I say so and because I agree with what God says. Now, it says in regards to your tongue, it's like a rudder on a ship. Now, let me just bring it into some practical illustration if I can. You know, I have a small fishing boat, and it just has an outboard motor on the back. And so on that bottom of that motor, it has a rudder or kind of like a fin. And so therefore, as I'm using the steering wheel, it causes that motor to turn. And so as it turns, that rudder cuts into the water and it begins to change the direction of the boat. But there's also something that's necessary and needed in that component, because if there is no forward motion, that rudder can do nothing of itself. It just moves. So there's got to be something that propels that boat. And, above my rudder is what is called the prop, or it's the propeller, if you will. It's the thing that spins around and creates forward thrust. And therefore, it sets things in motion. And once the motion begins to happen, that rudder begins to turn as I choose which way I want it to go, and it sends me in that direction. So once again, the prop, if you will, the thing that sets your life in motion is your faith, or the substance of your faith. But it's your words that hook up with your faith that begin to set the course and the direction of your life. Now, for that matter, how many of you realize that you can have a belief system in God, but also have a belief system in incorrect things? For instance, do you realize that fear is faith? Fear is believing those things that are unseen to be or to become a reality. So I can believe in the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God, but I can get a bad report from the doctor and fear can overcome and overwhelm me. And regardless of the faith that I have in God that prepares or establishes a forward motion, there is a faith or a belief or a fear that can come and overtake and begin to trump my faith in God and begin to propel or set a forward motion, and my words hook up with my fear and it begins to send me in the wrong direction. Can you understand what I'm saying? So once again, in regards to my fishing boat, I got it, I don't know, a few years back. So I never owned a boat before. And so I went to this place. In fact, I took my kids out for the first time. I said, let's go for a ride. It's kind of late in the season. It's kind of cold. But I said, let's just go for a boat ride, you know. So we're out going in the water. And there was this little channel between these two bodies of water. And it was extremely shallow. Well, I knew that it was shallow. But at the time, I didn't have the wherewithal to remember, I got to put the prop up. Because if I don't put the prop up, then the prop is, like I said, the propeller. The prop will bottom out and hit the ground. And so we're traveling through this little skinny part of water. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, we're just kind of chugging along. I'm like, what's going on? The motor's acting funny. And then it dawns on me, we're in shallow water and my prop is digging into the ground. Well, then when I get back to the boat dock, I look at my prop, and my prop is all chewed up. And so what happens, my prop is what propels me to go forward. And as a result of it being dinged up and banged up, it caused my acceleration to decline because of it being beat up. If the prop is representative of my faith, then my faith can get beat up, and therefore my words can degrade my faith, and my faith is not propelling me as fast or helping me the way that it should. Does that make sense? In addition to that, because that prop is dinged up, I can feel it in the boat. There's this like vibration. Why is there this physical vibration going on? It's because the prop got banged up, because where the rudder steered me into shallow waters, the prop or the thing that propelled me got banged up. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so we've got to understand that even though we have faith in God, our words are going to send us in a direction. Either the direction that hooks up with God or works against God. What kind of words are we saying? Because our words will set the course of our life. Are you doing all right this morning? Look at what it says here in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So notice what it says. What's on the inside is going to show up on the outside. How's it going to show up? In the way that you talk. Amen? The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you know that you already have a natural inclination or a lean to you? You might be the person that tends to lean towards worry. You might be the person that leans toward anger. You might be the person that leans toward this or that. And do you know that the enemy knows what you lean toward or what is stirring around on the inside here? And so what does he do? He doesn't point out to you, oh, God has been so good to you. Oh, God has been so faithful. No, what does he do? He starts to poke and prod in the things in your heart that you lean to. So what? So that you begin to give place to that thing and begin to talk incorrectly. Amen. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know what I'm talking about. You know, I can say all day long, you know what? I'm going to let that slide concerning my wife. I'm not even going to make a big deal about that thing. You know, it don't even matter. I'm not even going to bring it up. But then she comes home, and then things are said, and things are poked and prodded. And then all of a sudden, that thing that was stirring on the inside, and then you just go ahead and say it. Just go ahead and put it out there. Just let her know what you're thinking, and you go ahead and let it rip. And what happens? What happens? You let it rip, and it creates an environment, and it creates something you didn't want it to go there, or you didn't want to experience. Right? The enemy knows how to stir those things that are in your heart. But once again, I want you to understand that those things or our words are significant. In fact, let me just take you back to the beginning again, I guess, so that you understand or can see it. You know, the Bible talks about Adam and Eve, right? And we know the story where they were tempted. Well, how did it begin? Think about it, because Adam and Eve knew nothing concerning doubt and unbelief. They knew no trauma. They knew no bad things. They had no history. All they knew was walking with God, seeing the blessing of God, the hand of God. I mean, the thing that we desire and long for is to be face to face with Him. That's what they experienced. And it is said, now don't eat this tree. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the enemy comes and says, look at this tree. And she says, well, you know, God said. And he said, well, did God really say? Did God really say? And he says, you know, you'll become like God if you eat of that fruit. And then obviously you understand that the Bible says that she partook of the fruit. And then it says that she gave it to her husband. I think that when we read that, that's where a lot of these silly sitcom movies come from. Because I think we have this mentality. She goes to Adam with the fruit and she hands it to him. And he's like, okay. And eats the fruit like he's some dummy. And isn't that the way the world portrays dads nowadays? Is there some doof in the household, right? Kids make fun of them. Wife makes fun of them, mocks them. No, listen. How did that happen? It happened through a conversation. We know that through the scripture gives definition as to how these things happen. So when the enemy came, there was a consistent conversation that wasn't just one time. It was constant, over and over and over, where he began to cause her to question, where something began to change in her heart. And therefore, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth spoke. And once she spoke, she gave way and partook of the fruit. And the Bible says Adam was right there. So he was right there talking and wavering back and forth in his words as well. And he messed up too. Right? And what is his temptation? He says, you'll know good and evil. Listen, you were never meant to know evil. But let me take it a step further. You were never meant to know good. All you were meant to know is God. Let that sink in a little bit. I said, all we were meant to know was God. But there was a conversation that happened and man began to talk. And once they began to speak incorrectly, it took them down a path and it steered their life. And therefore the end result came. Our words are important. What do those words do? Those words create arguments. And we'll look at a verse in just a moment. But don't we all face that and struggle with that? The arguments. I don't know if you're like I am, but I don't need enemies. I do a fantastic job beating myself up. You know, I look in the mirror and there's this self-talk that you have. And you start to talk negative. All the woulda, coulda, shouldas. Right? You start thinking of all this stuff. Well, what happens? You end up getting yourself in a deep, dark place if you're not careful. Well, how did it begin? It began by thoughts, but those thoughts turned into conversations. Right? How do marriages get destroyed? Because there was conversations, incorrect conversations that started. In the local church, why is there gossip and why is there all kinds of division in the church? Because there was wrong conversations that began to happen. And listen, I don't care if it's you personally, you will find somebody to agree with you. If you want to dog yourself, you'll find somebody that comes alongside you and say, yeah, you're miserable, you stink, you're no good. If you're at a church and you find somebody that says, I hate this church, that pastor and these people, you'll find somebody. Oh, I've been waiting for somebody else to say that and think the same thing. I agree with you, brother and sister. Right? Why is there such a debate in the church about sexuality nowadays? Because there's been enough conversation that it's derailed the plan and the purpose of God to where there's so much confusion nowadays that now we're off in the ditch. It's because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, there's so much difference of opinion concerning doctrine. This doctrine and that doctrine. Why is there so much difference of opinions in doctrine? Because somebody started talking. And here's how they started talking. Here's my experience. And because I experienced or did not experience, then this must be truth. Listen, you never base your experience upon God's word. You base your experience upon God's word, not God's word based on your experience. Amen? there's an argument that comes. And that argument that comes will hook up with a conviction that you have, because that conviction is a substance of faith and power that will steer your course and set you in a path. And the end will be as a result of the words that you spoke. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3 through 5. It says this. For though we walk in the flesh and do not war, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So let's engineer that or re-engineer that backwards. Notice it says to begin with, there's strongholds, arguments, and thoughts. Well, how do you begin to have a conviction in your heart to begin with? It first starts with a thought. And the Bible says you do something with the thought that comes. The enemy will bring thoughts and suggestions and lies. And if you don't do anything to take hold of those things, the Bible says that that thought will turn into an argument against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is truth, but do we see arguments against the truth today in the church, out of the church, everywhere that we go? Absolutely. The thought, if not taken hold of or brought into control, it will turn into an argument. But he says for you, cast down or grab hold of that argument and you do something with it. Grab it by the neck and tell it you're not going to go any further than right here. And the Bible says if you do not take that thought or that argument captive, it says it turns into a stronghold. Or you'll take a stronghold of it, or it'll take a stronghold of you. And what happens? You'll begin to declare and speak and say, and you'll find that your destination is a dead end of a stronghold. I don't want to end up on a dead-end street. I want to experience God's best. So the Bible says you have to take authority over those thoughts. And the best way that you'll do that is by controlling your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I choose to say the right things. Amen? Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. I know I'm sharing a number of verses with you, but again, it bears reference for the sake of what we're talking about. Verse 23, it says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope or faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold fast to the confession of your faith. What's that mean? It means choose to speak correctly according to your faith. And actually, the King James Bible says, hold fast to the profession of faith. If you are ever going to be a professional at something, you need to be a professional at talking right. Because wherever you're at today is a byproduct of the words you spoke yesterday. Hold fast to the confession of your faith. Why do I hold fast to my confession? Because my faith has substance that will create something. And my faith is built on and based upon God's promise. Can God's promise ever come to an end? Well, let me ask it this way. Can God lie? Are you sure about that? A few of you answered. Again, this can be group participation. Do you believe that God can lie? Okay. God cannot lie. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. Do you believe that? He says, my promises, which is his word, are yes and amen, or so be it. Do you believe that? Yes. Do you believe that God's word says, my word does not return void? Do you believe that? All right then, if that is God's word, it is forever settled in heaven, and, and therefore my confession is what God has said, not the circumstances of life. Because faith in what he said, if God can't lie, man, my faith is stirred. If I know what God says and his promises are yes and amen, man, this is a done deal. My faith is propelling me forward. But my words are going to steer me in the right way because I am the pilot. I said, I am the pilot. And in that scripture, it says that the pilot sets the course by the rudder and he goes where he wants to go, even in the winds and the storms. So that means you're going to face opposition. There's going to be things coming against you, but your faith and your words will get you to the destination that God's word says you can be and have and do. Because his promises are yes and amen. Praise God. I don't know if you're thinking about it today, but listen, this is good news. Because our world is just about ready to get to change if we'll begin to hook up our words and say the right things and agree with God. Hold fast to the profession of your faith means to agree with and say the same thing as. There's a lot of people in the church that are agreeing with the bad news of the doctor and saying what the doctor said. There are a lot of people that are agreeing with what people are saying about your kids and about your marriage, and your words are in agreement with that. There are a lot of people that are hearing the bad news concerning their financial stability and state of life, and their words are agreeing with it. Listen, those are facts, but the word supersedes the facts. Amen. And therefore, I choose to agree with and say the same thing as what God's word says. I said this is 101 material. This is basic foundational information. But so much of the church does not understand the significance of words. Let me close with this. In Mark 11, 23 and 24. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, there's the storm, there's the winds. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he said will be done, he will have whatever he says. Did you notice it says this? Does not doubt in his heart. You know what that lets us know? Is that just because I begin to say or speak to my storm or my mountain, it does not mean that it's immediately going to change in the way that it looks. It may, but oftentimes it doesn't. Why? Because my words begin to change the course. My faith propels the course. And I just got to stick with it. Look at what it says in verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Will you stand with me? I'm going to ask you once again. Do you believe that God cannot lie? Do you believe that God's promises are yes and amen? Do you believe that the blood of Jesus qualified you for the promises of God? Do you believe that he's faithful to his word? And listen, our lives are changing from this day forward. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, I pray that he will arrest your attention, because we have gotten and allowed ourselves to get into ruts to talk incorrectly. Husbands and wife, don't be policing one another. Just allow the Holy Spirit to do that. But I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to talk to you and say, hey, change how you're saying that. Just to be transparent, I was having a conversation with my wife. We went for a drive the other day and we were having this conversation, and I was just kind of being transparent and real with my wife. You know, that's not always easy. And as I'm talking to my wife says, huh, well then apparently, and she kind of gives me her synopsis. And I said, you're absolutely right. What you said is right. And the foundation of what she was saying, or the transparency of my heart, was a result of how I thought and how I spoke. So in that conversation, it was just like, Lord, that's changing today. No longer living in that place, because you're too good, too good, and too great of a God. So I'm speaking and saying and declaring what God says. Amen.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.